Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 11th of January. I'm Paul White, and I'm glad to have you with me today on the podcast as we are concluding the third chapter of 2 Peter, trying to conclude this long, several months run we've had through these two epistles. Let's finish up today. We've read verse 16 before. In fact, we've spent some time in it. I just want to make sure we've finished it as we should, and then we'll read the final sentence, which is verses 17 and 18. Actually, there's a couple sentences in there. Paul, in his epistle, spoke things in which are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. When Peter says the rest of the scriptures, he's talking about the Old Testament. He's not talking about they twist the rest of Paul's and mine and James and John, Luke. No, that stuff wasn't considered scripture. And I don't think, and I could be completely wrong here, it's my opinion, I don't think Peter and Paul and James and John thought they were writing scripture when they wrote it down. I don't mean they didn't think it was inspired, but I don't think they would have looked at it as scripture. I don't think they would have been that presumptuous. We view it as scripture, but that probably wasn't in their thinking. So when he says the rest of the scripture, please know that he's talking about the Old Testament. So what does this mean? Well, that Paul has a lot to say. That's obvious. He writes what we consider two-thirds of the New Testament canon. But it's hard to understand some of the things he's talking about because Paul talks about a lot of stuff. He doesn't just talk about justification by faith and righteousness. I think when you first get introduced to the depth of Paul, what you walk away with is that Paul's really into righteousness and walking in faith, and he is. But it's not his main theme, not if you consider that in every one of his books, he talks about the life in the Spirit. And in a lot of his references, he focuses on the coming end of an age. And so those are things that were very difficult to understand in that day. They're not a whole lot easier to understand in our day, maybe a little bit easier in our day, because if we're honest with the context, we can look back on a system being absolved. The problem is many people don't do that, and they keep putting everything out in front of us, which makes it even more confusing. But as I said the other day, don't take this 16th verse as your rallying verse. Oh, see, everybody that disagrees with how I see Paul, they're just ignorant and unstable. That's not necessarily true. The other side could use the same verse against you. I don't think it's Peter using a verse pro or against. He's simply telling his audience, people, hey, listen, just because people are against what Paul's saying doesn't mean he's wrong. And that's a crucial thing for you to understand about anybody. All right, let's take it home. 17, 18. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Let's conclude this little study in 2 Peter by focusing on the fact Peter doesn't have a long clothes. That's more Pauline. He wants his audience to grow in the grace and the... I love this phrase. To grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is something Paul says similar. Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth in love. Grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. And I think that's the purpose of the church, by the way. We're growing into him who is the head, and we're doing that as a people. Peter wants you to grow in grace and knowledge, and that's the greatest prayer you can give, I think, for anybody, is listen, we want you to grow in God's grace, what he thinks about you, and the knowledge, not only what he thinks about you, but of who you are, so that you have an identity. Grow up in that. And that brings him glory both now and forever. That 17th verse, he's speaking to his audience. You therefore, beloved, since you know beforehand, know what? You know what's coming. You know the body of this third chapter, the day of the Lord. Beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. The error of the wicked, if you take Paul's New Testament, And Peter's warning his people to be steadfast. The error of the wicked is not some guy coming along getting them to go into sin. The error of the wicked, in light of the fact that they need to be steadfast in the face of the day of the Lord, be steadfast in faith. Because the way of the wicked would be to take you back into performance. And why would you do that? Seeing as this system is coming down in this generation. Why would you go back to this system? Remember that the disciples are dealing with information given to them straight from the lips of Jesus. When you see these things happen, flee to the mountains of Judea because Jerusalem's in trouble and its system is in trouble. And there's going to be an abomination of desolation in its temple. This thing is over with. And Peter is saying, seeing that you know beforehand, don't go back into the way of the wicked. Don't go back into this system of performance and works. Why would you do that knowing it's coming down? And I think this is a crucial way to end your letter because it shows you that that which was foremost on the mind of Peter is that his audience not go back to the system that he had watched Jesus take him out of. And Peter probably comes into this revelation a step behind Paul. Peter might have learned it by watching Paul, this persecutor of Christians named Saul, who has an amazing transformation, who then starts to bring people into faith, but he does it in such a scholarly way and that he goes after the foundations of performance under the Mosaic, under Judaism, and he transforms the message. And for Peter, he stands from afar and watches this, and he can couple that information with his own experience, which was that whole Acts 10 House of Cornelius incident. And he can sit back and go, I've watched God do this in Gentiles. I listened to Paul say what he says about Israel and about the true Israel of God. So I'm giving you warning, hold on, be steadfast in the faith. Listen, when we talk about steadfastness, and I think the early church has my back on this, steadfastness is not so much just keeping yourself out of sin. That's a great place, by the way, to stay out of missing the mark, because there's a lot of chaos comes when you miss the mark. But steadfastness is not just doing the right thing. Steadfastness is holding on to the faith and not going back to your own performance, going back to your own works, back to your own way of doing things. It's holding on to the fact that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. And I think that's Peter's message. Okay, it took us about five and a half months. Of course, there were breaks here and there to go through 1st and 2nd Peter. Tomorrow on the podcast, I'm going to do one little buffer day before we start the next book. And that little buffer day will be an answer we gave at a Q&A in Springfield, Illinois. I'll air that for you tomorrow. And I'll also spend a little bit of time tomorrow getting you ready for where we're going to go next. And I'll tell you why I'm so excited about it. I'm genuinely pumped about our next move here on the podcast. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.